So I want to take a moment to echo what Sean said, that God is good, amen? God is so good. And I want to correct him. He said he went against the flow. No, he listens to the flow of the Holy Spirit, amen? There's a big difference, yes, big difference. I'm excited to be here with you this morning. We are in our Limitless series, that God's power is limitless. And this morning, I'm going to speak on radical obedience and what that looks like in our lives, but then also what it looks like through the context of some narratives in the Bible. I don't know about you, but I love water. I am drawn to bodies of water. I have an image up here that I want to share with you. This is the Sea of Galilee. Isn't that breathtaking? It is just breathtaking. And I had the privilege of being there last year, and this morning we're going to travel to the Sea of Galilee. So I invite you to join with me. So I was, again, knowing the love that I have for water, was particularly excited to visit the Sea of Galilee last year. And I was really excited to be able to go out on a boat ride, right, on the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee has so much biblical significance around this body of water. And we boarded this fishing boat. This was the actual boat that we had. And you can see that it was covered. Most of the boat was covered. The front was open a little bit, but we gathered underneath the cover in the back of the boat. And so there were about 20 of us on the boat. We had a smaller group with the group that I went with. And I found my seat under a cover just in the back right. And it was just a moment of great reflection, right? As I'm just preparing my heart to experience the Sea of Galilee. And as we headed out, out on the water, this moment happened to me. I'm undercover. And this happens to me, right? And so I was the running joke, right, of that whole boat trip. This gives a whole new meaning to the word holy crap. Thank you. I just thought it was hysterical. And I'm glad you find it hysterical, too. There are 20 of us. No other bird finds anybody else but me. But me. And I just want you to know I claim this as an anointing. I claim it as anointing. Again, we're going to journey to the Sea of Galilee, and there's a familiar passage where Jesus and Peter, we find them walking on the water in the midst of a storm, and it's a story of faith and doubt and taking risk and radical obedience. I want to set up some context for you. So Jesus and his disciples were gathered with a large mass of people, and Jesus had just fed the 5,000. So you get in this picture in your mind of how big this crowd is. Had just fed the 5,000, and Jesus had dismissed the people to go back, and he had told the disciples to climb in this boat, right, and to head out into the Sea of Galilee. And then Jesus himself, we recall this, he had gone away to take some time for solitude and prayer, which that's a whole nother message. But Jesus had gone to take some time for solitude and prayer. Many of us know when we're out on a body of water, whether it's a lake, it's the ocean, whatever that is, you can always tell when a storm's coming in, right? You can see it in the distance, and you can see when that storm is, when it's coming in. And this was one of those days. They could see out over the Sea of Galilee that there was something coming. I want to share with you this story from Matthew 14. And we're going to start at verse 22. I want you to hear these words. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he dismissed them, he went up to the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land. Buffeted by the waves because of the wind, was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus said to them, "Take courage, it is I. do not be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. And then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and he was beginning to sink, and he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." You see, Peter and his disciples were clearly in this scary crisis, but also in a crisis of faith, if you will. It was when Peter took his eyes off of Jesus that he began to sink. How are you like Peter? When do you find yourself doing something you shouldn't be doing, or you lose faith, or you become so afraid to the point that it is paralyzing to you, and you feel like you're drowning? Stop and think where your eyes are. Stop and think where your eyes are. Have you taken them off of Jesus? Have you taken them off Jesus? You see, obedience doesn't mean that we have a life of smooth sailing, but he does promise to be with us. I love this little quote I want to share with you. God doesn't give us what we can handle. He helps us handle what we have been given. Right? Because there are times where it is too much. It is too much. But he helps us handle what we have been given. We see throughout the scriptures two different kinds of storms. And I just want to illustrate two of them for you this morning. There are storms of correction. Storms of correction. A form of discipline. And we see it in Jonah, right? We remember the story, Jonah and the whale. Jonah was living out of the will of God. So he was in a storm of correction. And then we see with the disciples in this passage that this is a storm of perfection. A storm of perfection with Peter and his disciples. You see, there are some storms that help us grow and to live in radical obedience. Another little quote I want to share with you. We grow through what we go through. Oh, how many of us, right? Oh, we are just testimonies. We grow through what we go through if we've got our eyes on Jesus. We grow through what we go through. You see, Jesus may not come to us. I love this too. Jesus may not come to us when we think he should come because he knows when we need him most. I love that. Jesus may not come to us when we think he should come because he knows when we need him most. You see, Jesus, he was out of the boat when this was going on, right? He wasn't in the boat with the disciples. He had sent them ahead, and they are in the middle of this vast body of water. And they were alone, and there was no one else on the water with them. That the storm, it had caused the seas to become angry. Matthew tells us that the boat was tossed by the waves. And then in the Gospel of Mark, he says that they were straining to row, and the wind was against them. Ever been in that type of situation where you feel that the waves just keep coming and it's hard to keep going and you feel alone on the water and you feel like everything is working against you? Oh, but God's power is limitless, limitless. We pick back up in verse 25. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." Do not be afraid. You see, they knew Jesus, but they didn't recognize him. You know why they didn't recognize him? Because they weren't looking for him. They were not looking for him. Had they been living in faith, they would have known him. You see, fear it can be blinding. But Jesus says, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said, come. Peter was obedient, and he stepped out in faith and onto the water. You see, logic tells us that's not a good idea, right? We float or we swim in the water, and sometimes we sink if we don't know how to swim, right? But we typically don't walk on water. What a transition in this narrative to the disciples. You see, they're in the boat, and they're gripped with fear, and they see what they think is a ghost. And then they witness this whole exchange. And they say to Pete, you're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. And then Jesus says, tells Peter to come to him on the water. And they're like, Pete, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're crazy. And some say ignorance, but Jesus says obedience. And there Peter went. Now notice that Peter didn't say, stop the storm, change my circumstances, but Lord, if it's you. You see, Jesus came to him in the middle of the storm. And Jesus answered him with one word, come, come. And then Peter got down out of the boat and he walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And he was beginning to sink, and he cried out, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand, and he caught him. And he says, you of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? He took his eyes off Jesus. But friends, we have good news. Jesus never took his eyes off of Peter. And he never takes his eyes off of you. You see, when you cry out to the Lord, save me, Jesus reaches his hand out to catch you. I want to share a passage with you from Isaiah 43. Hear these words. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Matthew concludes, and when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. How are you like Peter, stepping out in faith when you're unsure of how to guide your steps? Or maybe like the disciples, doubting until you see and experience Jesus for yourself. You see, living a life of radical obedience involves trust and faith. And to head into the storm on the water, because Jesus tells you to get in the boat. You see, these disciples, they didn't have it all together, just like we don't have it all together. But they had radical obedience. And just as the disciples were on that boat that night, they got a little wet. Are you willing to get wet when Jesus calls you? Jesus says, come. Jesus says, come. I was listening to a podcast the other week with Dr. Henry Cloud. I don't know if any of you are familiar with him. And just listening to Dr. Cloud, and he was sharing this story of when we get sick, right? And we've been in this season, some of us, of sickness, that we go to the doctor, right? And the doctor prescribes medication for us. And we do a few things. One is we take the script to the pharmacy and we get it filled. And then we follow the instructions on the label, how often to take the medication, and for how long. And we're obedient to what the doctor prescribes for us, because we know that it's going to help us to get better. You see, God has given us his word. It's called the Bible. It is not meant to sit on our nightstands or our bookshelves or in a drawer or just an app that we have on our phone. You see, it gives us life instructions. We're to read it every day. And it's our prescription for healthy living and a well-balanced life. You see, we can't keep our eyes on Jesus if we aren't in his word. Amen? Amen. We're called to live a life of radical obedience. He is our great physician and our Savior. I love this verse 28. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, Jesus says, come. You see, you've come this day. You have come in this moment to be with Jesus. Jesus says to you, come. Leave the shore. Are you willing to take the risk to get in the boat when you know that you're headed into the unknown? Or maybe willing to get out of the boat knowing that you might get wet or that you might start to sink like Peter. But we remember that Jesus reaches out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he says, why did you doubt? You see, living a life of radical obedience involves movement. It involves change, changing your habits, changing what you read, changing what you listen to, right? Radical obedience, to call upon the name of Jesus. Jesus, we call upon your name this morning. And Jesus says, come, come. I want to lead us into a time of prayer, and that's going to be followed by communion afterwards. And just to kind of share some instruction with that, we're going to be taking communion this morning by intinction, which is where you come forward and you dip the bread in the juice, and the ushers will come and dismiss you. Know that in the United Methodist Church, that communion is open for everyone to come and receive. I want to take a moment to invite those who are serving communion just to come up and to get ready to serve, and I want to invite the team as well. Won't you join me in a time of prayer? And the ushers will dismiss you at the end of this prayer. Jesus, we come before you. And we take a moment to position ourselves with both feet on the floor, with our eyes closed. Jesus says, come. Jesus, we come to you in this moment. We give up our self-control, our doubt, our fear, our lack of faith. And we throw off the things that keep us from coming to you. In our minds, we're going to travel to the Sea of Galilee, and we find ourselves on those beautiful waters. And we take a moment to throw the things that hinder our faith, that keep us from being obedient, from getting in the boat or walking on the water, and we toss them. Oh, we launch them into the water. We name these things for ourselves, and we speak them aloud in our minds to you, Lord Jesus, as they sink. And we can see them going down through the clear waters. You see, we look down in our mind's eye, and we can see the bottom. And we see those things that we've tossed, and we can't get them back. And we feel our feet firmly planted. And in our mind's eye, we look up from the water. And we fix our eyes on you, Jesus, standing on your word as you say, come. and you extend your hand to us. And the beautiful thing in this moment is that we extend our hand back to you, Jesus. We glorify your name. And in this moment, Jesus says, come. Come to the table. I have prepared a place for you. Come to the table. We remember on that night when Jesus gathered with his disciples in that upper room, that he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. And he said, this is my body broken for you. Take and eat. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, he took the cup and he gave thanks. And he said, this is a sign of a new covenant. My blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins and the sins of many. Take and drink. God, I pray that you would pour out your spirit upon these elements of the bread and the cup and those who receive them as we come. And now we come before you to pray the prayer that you taught your disciples. Won't you join me? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Come and dine. The table is set.